opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Space is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. There you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get off the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Road.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Now that you know just who you are, good. And you know it feels good, feels good, good to feel good. And you know it feels good, good to feel good. And you know it feels good.
Okay, my name is Renoka Rashidi. I'm an avid fan of and a big supporter of Brother Junior Stanton.
Welcome to another edition of the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, here on Rainbow Soul on the Blake Radio Network. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton, and we started off the program with Beautiful People, performed by the Black Eyed Peas, Macy Gay, and Mos Def. And that sets the stage for our guest, Mama Okosua Ali Sabri, who is an author. Her latest book, Emancipating Your Spirit, a Conscious Guidebook, Affirmations, Meditations, Liberty, and Other Soulful Reflections, is available. And she's also one of the co-conveners of the annual International Locks Conference. And this will be the 17th annual International Locks Conference. And she's also a convener of a health symposium, all coming up in October. And we'll speak with her following these messages. Don't go anywhere. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul.
Greetings to the Internet Radio family. This is Reverend Valentine speaking. You know, for nearly 30 years, I have had the distinct experience of being interviewed over every medium of communication available to the public. And except for the metaphysical underground, I can think of no other electronic venue that has been more progressive, more innovative, more insightful, more diligent, more diverse in its demographics, and more courageously supportive of the truth than this ever-growing phenomenon called Internet radio. And this is precisely why I'm here to tell you that it is so vital that you give your wholehearted support to it. Tell a friend. In fact, tell 2, 3, and 4 of your friends. If you are a business owner, support Internet radio by telling your customers and constituents all about it. Let them know that there is a legitimate and important substitute to all of the prefabricated, super-censored garbage polluting our public airways today. Don't allow the mass media to continue to treat you like a mindless consumer drone. Enhance your awareness. Indulge your critical thinking, your reasoning, and your analysis. Do as I do. Log on, listen in, and then let it be known all about your internet radio experience. Chimatep, beloved family, thank you for listening. Walk in light.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com, or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul@blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support.
Gracious, Professor Griff, you're listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, all right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griff from Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
Our guest on our program today is a very busy and a very, very talented young lady, Mama Okosua Ali Sabri, and she's well known to internet radio because she hosts a program on the Harambe Radio and Television Network. Health is a Family Affair. She's an author. She's a health practitioner. She's a longtime community activist. And her latest book is Emancipating Your Spirit, a conscious guidebook, affirmations, meditation, liberty, and other soulful reflections. And she's also convener of a health symposium that will be coming up shortly, but she's also known worldwide as one of the co-conveners of the International Lock Conference, and this is the 17th year. So she's here to tell us all about these things and much, much more. So welcome.
Peace, peace. I am blessed and thrilled to be here.
Well, yes, we're always blessed, and you're an energetic person, someone who's really positive, and so I know it's, that energy is keeping you going. So let's talk about the book, because it's been out for a while. So how's that doing?
Wow, Emancipating Your Spirit it's actually taken on a life of its own. It took me a while to write it, and once I finished the first version, I put it down for a while, and then we had all kinds of things happening in the country, and I picked it up again, added some more to it, and when we finally released it to the public, it just sort of took off on its own. And surprisingly, even though I wrote it with women in mind, most of the people who've been buying it have been brothers.
Oh, really?
Men for their wives or their daughters, or for them to have a better understanding, or to just sort of get in touch with some of the things that we were talking about, which is not something that I had thought about when I wrote the book. So I'm kind of happy about that. Also, in terms of Emancipating Your Spirit, we're going to be using it as a textbook for a stress management course that we're doing at Temple PASSET program.
Oh, okay.
Which starts in September 27th. So I'm excited about that. I've been approached by at least three groups of women who want to use it in their rites of passage programs, one in Atlanta, one in Boston, and one here in Philadelphia. So I'm kind of excited that it sort of has, as I said, taken on a life of its own. I still have people who are calling me talking about what they used in the book for, let's say, the affirmations. Or I had a couple who were going to marriage counseling, and they read the chapter in the book about more happiness and how to communicate, and they actually used that in terms of, they actually took the book to counseling with them and talked about some of the issues that were talked about in the book, and she suggested that they just go through the exercises, which I said I needed to call her and thank her. So people are finding different uses for the book, which I'm really excited about. Some of those things I really wanted to happen, but some of the things are unexpected, and it's been a really exciting and rewarding journey.
Do you find that because it's about personal growth and transformation, that in these troubling times that people are looking for something, they're dissatisfied with much of what's out there? A lot of the religion is leaving them cold, the materialism and hedonism is still leaving a void in their lives, and they're looking for something. Is that why the book is taken off?
I believe so, because the book is called Emancipating Your Spirit, as you said, a conscious guidebook, affirmations, meditation, liberty, and other soulful reflections. And with all the kinds of things that are happening, those folks who are searching for answers really look to a large degree, number of places where they can find something that they can hold on to. And what I find is that most people in relationship to the book have been responding to it when they actually meet me and see me work with it in a workshop. I've had some people who have bought the book and didn't realize that some of the things I talked about were actually in the book and had to go back and read it again. And then, as I said, some of the most of the men who are buying it are kind of excited about the, I guess, the clues that help them with stress management, because there's a lot of dissatisfaction and, or what'll I do with some of the things that I don't really have some control over. And the book speaks to some of those things to help people maintain some kind of balance, or at least be able to be a bridge from chaos to some type of harmony. So I believe that it fits in there. It's like right on time for what's going on now.
Well, it also tells people to take agency and responsibility for their own well-being, you know, psychologically,
sure,
spiritually, spiritually. So in an era like you just mentioned, where people are faced with situations that they have absolutely no control over, they can always control their responses and how they choose to move on. I don't want to say react, because a lot of times we get caught up in this whole mindless reaction thing. And what I think you're attempting to do is to promote consciousness, conscious awareness of well-being, and conscious choices that will impact your present and your future.
Right. That's exactly right.
So that becomes a valuable tool, particularly when we're being taught to consume, and we're seeing that whole consumption, and it is really happening literally, meaning we're wasting away and we're being used up.
Right. That's exactly right.
So where can people get copies of the book?
Well, they can ask their local bookstore, because it can also be ordered. It's on Amazon. It's on our website, which is Ujima Press. UJIMAPRESS RC.com, or if they're in the Philadelphia area, it's in most of our black bookstores, and they can always call, or they can call our online network, which is 1-888-330-8005.
Now, what's the online network?
I'm sorry, say this again.
What is the online network?
Right. We have Ujima Press helps authors to write books, and we have a hotline that people can call to either order books or to find out, you know, where I'm going to be doing a book. I don't call them book signings, book discussions, or mini workshops that I do when we discuss the book. Because I find a lot of folks don't necessarily have internet, so they can't necessarily order it from Amazon or go on our website and order it, but they can call us, and that line is specifically for the book.
Now, if they wanted to go to a bookstore that wasn't familiar with it, but that ordered books, what's the ISBN number? Do you have that off the top of your head?
Yes, I do.
All right. Give us the
ISBN number is 978-0972706735. Let me do that again. The ISBN number is 978-0972706735.
Right. Now, the title of the book is?
The title of the book is Emancipating Your Spirit, a Conscious Guidebook, Affirmations, Meditation, Liberty, and Other Soulful Reflections.
Now, you mentioned workshops. Do you venture beyond, like, the tri-state area? I mean, I know you're very active in Philadelphia, Camden, Southern.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Matter of fact, I'm going to be in the Atlanta area in, I believe it's December, and we're going to be doing some workshops with that and using the book. The UNIA ACL is asking all of their Black Cross Nurses divisions across the country, the world, to have our book on hand for people to study and to work with their groups. So, yes, have book, will travel.
Okay.
give us the contact information, URL for your website, and a phone number if you choose.
Okay. The website for Emancipate Your Spirit is exactly that. It's emancipatingyourspirit.com, which has a lot of really good information on it, and good music. And the email for that is info at bewellrelaxed.com.
Okay, give that again.
Info at B E W E L L R E L A X, bewellrelaxed.com.
Okay. You have so many things in the fire. let's talk about the 17th Annual International Lax Conference. But prior to that, give us the times for your radio program.
We have a radio show. It's called Health is a Family Affair. I've been on and off the last couple of months because I'm actually in school and working on the LOC conference. But people are welcome to chime in with us on Wednesday night from 10 to midnight. And it's on HarambeRadio.com. It's called Health is a Family Affair. And because we believe that health is everything that we're involved with, we talk about a variety of issues. And we have, as my co-host, Salim Ali, and sometimes my guest host is Brother Elagon, who's a natural herbalist. So we have a variety of useful information across the board to deal with our health on a holistic level.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, every Wednesday night, 10 to 12 midnight.
Okay, all right. Now, you've been doing that for quite some time. You cut your teeth with a icon in the community broadcasting community, Matt
yes.
Humphrey. So
yes.
tell us about that, and tell us, you know, what you learned from her and how you integrated the things that you learned from her into what you're doing.
Wow. Yeah, Maddie L. Humphrey. She and I were fellow nurses, and she, as you said, I cut my teeth. She allowed us to be part of the Interdisciplinary Task Force, which was a group of young brothers and sisters that were given radio time. And we had an hour show every Sunday night that was also called Health is a Family Affair. But beyond having the show on it, and we, my husband and I, stood in for her every time she would run for election. We would be on the breakfast show. And what she did with us was to help us to learn how to do intros, how my husband, how to actually work the board in terms of the electronics. So he was actually like a producer.
Mm-hmm.
We learned that it to not take the news, the headlines in the news for face value, to research and analyze and to find out just what's actually going on, which really helped us to not repeat bad news. We talk about that on our show a lot, is that a lot of times we hear things that are going on and people jump on whatever is the latest hot news off of the broadcast news. And we do our community a disservice because we repeat things that are not necessarily true. So I learned that really good. I also learned that there's nothing new under the sun, that a lot of things that people get really excited about, some of our ancestors have already done, and it would do us well to study and to learn that. I also learned from her that all the different programs, a number of the different programs that are supposed to help us, if we aren't the ones initiating them, may not be to our benefit, because whatever can be given to us can be taken away. So those were hard learning lessons, because with Maddie Humphrey, she was involved in a lot of task force and, you know, really worked to work with different governments and agencies and things. And towards the end, she learned that it was about what we do in relationship to our community. I also learned to not take the so-called prison industrial system for granted. We worked with her with the Lifers at Readyport. We did a lot more than just radio with her. As I said, she was a mentor. And one of the things that we've kept up is the Healthy Block campaign, which is why most of the things that I'm involved with
had to do with family and health, which he was very, very strong on, and which I hold very dear. So I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot. And one of the things that she told me is don't repeat her life. You can have the passion and the energy, but don't fall into the traps of believing that, you know, because an elected official said he's going to support this or do that, that that's actually what's going to go on. And she was really a champion for me for self-determination and supporting and acknowledging family.
Now,
communications was her way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. And I think she was part of a group of community-oriented broadcasters during the 60s that, you know, they were professional, and that just because I'm saying she's grassroots doesn't mean she wasn't professional. But that her focus was the community. Her focus wasn't the self-aggrandizement and getting her name out there necessarily. Her focus was being a conduit for information and community growth. And I think that you've transmitted that from terrestrial radio to internet radio.
Yes.
She's keeping her tradition alive.
Mm-hmm. Most assuredly, most assuredly. When you know, most people don't realize that Maddie went to school in the 50s. She was, I have a picture of her being the only black child, the only black person in her class. And in her class picture, all of the men are in suits and ties. And most of the people who she was in class with were at the University of Michigan. She, they were now the heads of Blue Cross Blue Shield and a lot, number of the Fortune 500 companies. So not only did she have a degree in nursing, she had a degree in hospital administration. She also had a doctorate in law. Like you said, she kept it real. She dealt with what was going on in the community and talked about communications was really an important element, which is why I support Harambe Radio, not just for my show, but across the board, because we need to be able to communicate with each other, both through electronic means and then the reach out and touch live thing, because she was really into us doing live forums and masterminds and, you know, not losing touch with who we are and our energy. So I believe that I'm doing that. I think about her a lot, and I think about, you know, Maddie used to say this, or, you know, I need to do that, or, you know, don't repeat that. So, yes, that's part of what I believe that that's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm.
I only have to get feedback from the community to let me know if I'm on point.
Well, I mean, the fact that you're out there doing that work at a time when most people are trying to feather their own nest and to try to, you know, get rich and be like everything that they promote, which is a lot of negativity and selfishness and profanity and civility, you know, is a testament to your integrity and your values and the fact that you're holding strong to not only what Maddie taught you, but what your parents taught you.
Yes. Most assuredly. Isola and Josiah Fripp would come get me if I wasn't. One of the things my mom taught me is birds fly high, must come down low. Never forget who you are and where you come from. So I talk about that a lot when I'm talking to young brothers and sisters, and we're duty bound that our success is the success of our community around us. And, you know, you may be flying high in terms of material goods, but, you know, if we have brothers and sisters suffering around the world, what good is the material good? So I'm not saying that we don't need to strive for those things so that we can help each other, but we need to know that the reason we're striving those things is so that we can help each other.
Right. Put it all in perspective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you coming up shortly, the next couple of weeks, you have International Locks Conference.
Yes.
So there may be some people who are not familiar with that, so tell us what that is. Because because you've been doing it so long, a lot of spinoffs, or a lot of people saw it and said, hey, that's a good idea. I think I'll do it. So tell us about that and give us some of the history of it, because it's really an intriguing way, particularly given what it's all about, how it started.
Right. Well, actually, the annual International Life Conference, Natural Hair, Holistic Health, and Beauty Expo is actually the oldest and original in the Pennsylvania area, and then we're probably second in the United States. Bob Johnson started a Natural Hair Show in 92. We came along in 94. Although they stopped doing theirs and did some other things, we've been consistently doing the LOGS conference since 95 in its present form, and 94 was the formulation. And it was formulated originally by three sisters, Sharon L. Goodman, Zakia Ali, and Yvette Small. Yvette Small is a hairstylist and a braider, or was a braider. She's a cultural folk artist now. Zakia Ali is a master chef and was into vegetarian food, natural food preparation. And Sharon was a journalist and had a doll-making company, Naomi Dolls. And the three of them were working at building their businesses and were thinking about all of the challenges that people with natural hair, whether they were locks, braids, or just their natural hair, were having. And there were very few places that you could go get care for your hair, very few places that you could talk to other people who were also having the same issues. So they came up with the concept of having the alternative, the lock conference. And what started out to be one day in one room with about seven or so vendors and about 50 people has turned into two exhilarating days with over 3,000 people from around the world. And a very good, not because I'm one of the organizers, but a very good example of self-determination and an exchange of goods and services and examples of how we can do things when we're allowed to work with each other and how we can promote each other. It's actually an experience. You know, when I talk about it, it's more than an afro and it's more than the run-of-the-mill conference. And even though there are other natural hair shows around the country, there's only in the country that I know of at least two others, the three of us, that are cultural-based. And what I mean by cultural-based is that we promote black businesses, so you won't see a number of other people there selling anything. We have workshops that go beyond hair. It's almost like a copy of my program is that when we're talking about natural health, beauty and expo, natural hair, holistic health and beauty, that goes across all kinds of fields. In other words, you don't have to have natural hair to come. You don't have to be a Christian, Muslim, whatever. There's no isms that are not are excluded from the law conference. Let's put it that way, which makes it a really nice experience. You have people who would not think about coming to a cultural event except that their cousin or their brother or somebody brought them to wherever it is that we have it. And when they get in the venue, the energy and the music and the sounds and the smells and the smiles on people's faces, you know, just becomes very infectious and people really enjoy themselves. That's why I say it's an experience. That we could talk about it on this show and other shows, but you have to be there. And it's an experience that I, as one of the organizers, really enjoys working with. You know, we have a number of organizations that people belong to, but it's like a struggle, and they're like, oh, I don't really feel like going to the meeting, or right. I don't feel like, or they have just a lot of
internal bickering.
Internal bickering. That is not the case with the Kumbra Family Organizing Committee. Everybody is committed to making it happen. We enjoy working together. We enjoy organizing it, and it is a lot of work. And when people get there, because it seems so effortless, that's why you have brothers and sisters come from everywhere and say, we want to reproduce that. And then when they go to reproduce it, they really don't quite get what goes into it. Like, we don't have it at any places that aren't either owned, run, or managed by people who look like me, by Nubians. And that's on purpose, is that how do we talk about black economics if we're not promoting that? You know, our sound engineer is a black man. Our
our food preparers, our, you know, everything that we can do that talks about building us from the inside out is what we do in terms of putting on a function. And a lot of places don't do that. We have brothers and sisters who will go to a white hotel and pay them lots of money, get very poor service, and have a black event, and then wonder why we don't have anything for ourselves. So for 17 years, in terms of economic development, in terms of spiritual release and renewal, in terms of cultural awareness, raising consciousness, those have been our principles that we operate on. And I believe that people see it. I believe they see it, they feel it, they appreciate it, which just feeds us and fires us up to do it even more.
Well, but, you know, you talk about energy, and, you know, back in the day they talked about the vibe.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, a lot of even so-called conscious people bring a negative or anxious energy. You know, like you go somewhere and people, a vendor will be there and you can feel their anxiety about making money that day. And, you know, I've been coming for quite some time. I don't feel that. I've been places where we're talking about culture, we're talking about promoting and being proud of who we are, but there's a lot of anger or a lot of negativity there. And for the most part, you know, there are people, you know, anytime you get a crowd of people, there may be some slight disturbance or something like that. You know, somebody bumps into somebody, but it's cool. And that's what I can say about the Lox Conference. It's cool. I mean, you don't have that negativity. There's not the type of envy, jealousy, all that kind of stuff that you see in so many other venues. And you're to be commended because you bring that energy and people can feel it. So, and then the people, to me, the vendors and the presenters and the people that do the workshops, from what I've seen, seem to be really committed to our people. So that makes it more genuine and more integrous to what you say you're about, because that's right. What happened.
Well, I think let's start with the vendors. The vendors like coming to the Lox Conference, because one, they're not a side issue. In other words, with a lot of events, vendors, the reason that people have vendors is they can get upfront money before they have people come. So the vendors provide some type of financial stability for that activity. But they're off on one end of the building, and the activity is at another end of the building. Or people come for a luncheon, or they come for something and have vendors, and then people go into luncheon, they come out, go to the bathroom, and then they leave. So the vendors really don't get the benefit of the people who are coming to that event. Whereas at the Lox Conference, that's one of the reasons we're having the event, to build black businesses. So you can't build black businesses if the people don't get to experience that. So they know that. They know that it's a vendor-friendly activity. They know that we plan all the activities around the vendors, so that no matter where you go, you have to interact with the vendors. So they like that. And a testimony to that is that we have vendors who have been with us for the full 17 years. And, you know, people who are in business don't keep coming to the same place if they're not making money.
Right.
We have some vendors who say, well, I come not because I'm making money, but because it's the place to be. I feel really good. I make a lot of contacts. We have some vendors who come because they don't necessarily make money on that day or a lot of money on the day, but they make enough contact to last them or the whole year until the Lox Conference comes up again. So it's an ongoing kind of interaction with the Lox Conference that they look for and are excited about. Then the other thing is that we don't have a lot of the same thing. We spend a lot of time selecting the vendors. It's not an event where you can just pay to be part of the Lox Conference. You know, we really work at not having 10 people all doing the same thing. We also work at making sure that the people who come have an idea of what it is about. So, like, if you've never been to the Lox Conference, you can't necessarily been there.
unless you have something really unique that we don't really have. So we spend a lot of time making sure that the items that are there are unique, that the people who are producing them look like us, that they have a respect for the people who are coming, and then we treat them well. You know, we treat them, as far as I'm concerned, people are coming to my home. So I'm not going to be rude and nasty to you and just take your money and stick you in a corner. So they feel that. And then the volunteers help to add a synergistic effect to that by being available to help them, by being available to help the people who come, by providing that kind of warm, welcoming feeling. And then that carries over into the workshops, in that the presenters, to the best of our ability, even though we don't have a large budget, we accommodate them in terms of materials and making sure that people come to their workshop and providing volunteers to assist them. And then we provide evaluation, so the people who go to the workshop get to say what they liked or didn't like, et cetera. And we, after the conference, we give that to our presenters, which helps them to improve their presentation or to find out how they did. People really do like feedback. So with the presenters, we have folks who want to come every year. So when you have that kind of loyalty base, when you have that kind of really good feeling, you're duty-bound to do what you can to keep that rolling. And then the people who come, why I say it's an experience, the people who come, you have people who've been coming and want it to grow, so they bring other people with them. And they're duty-bound. We have folks who have gotten off work and have come large distances, long distances, to pick up postcards or flyers or posters to help promote the law conference. You know, so with that kind of energy, you can't help but to have a really spiritual and conscious-raising event. I feel sort of proud and happy that you're being associated with it, let alone be someone who's helping to organize it.
You mentioned people go out of their way to help promote it. So
yes.
One of the things that's unique nowadays is that the LOX Conference does not seek corporate support or corporate sponsorship. That being the case, how do you raise the funds and how do you promote? Because I'm seeing a very alarming trend in our community is that we have become totally dependent almost on the corporatocracy to, you know, to do things in the community. Uh-huh. And I mean, even our organizations now are getting caught up in letting the corporate brand us or to get involved to do things. I think it runs counter to self-determination to a large extent. Uh-huh. So how do you remain true to Jima and your Jama?
I think two things. First of all, I love black people. Love black people, respect my family and my ancestors. That's the first thing. The second thing is I have faith in, there's three things. I have faith that people will support what we're doing if we do it with the right principles. And the third is, just on an economic basis, is that every ethnic group comes to where we are. They come to the black community to make money. So I know within the bottoms of my heart that there is money in our community. We just don't necessarily have the faith or the love of our people to see how we can be creative in putting it together.
Yeah,
you know,
vision,
that,
you know,
that,
for the vision.
I'm sorry?
For the vision.
Yes, yes. So we have businesses that, you know, will say, well, I don't have a lot of money, but I have a little money so I can help this happen. Well, you get a lot of businesses who have a little money that can make something happen, and we can make it happen. Or you get people who are a little more successful, and they can put up a little more money. Well, hey, you know, if you believe in it, you see a benefit in it, hey, we can work with that. And then we're willing to do the work. The organizing committee, which I'm really happy to be part of, do the work. If we have to knock on doors, to pass out flyers, or travel from one end or one state or whatever to get things out, or use the internet as much as we can, or use social media as much as we can. Whatever it takes to get our people here is what we do, short of selling ourselves out, our principles, or our integrity out. That if we're talking about self-determination, we have a lot of good examples. We have Marcus Garvey. We have Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I mean, we just have a number of examples of being able to do for self. So since from a teenager to the age I am now, that's been a principle of mine, and I passed it on to some of the younger brothers and sisters who are working with us, that we can do whatever it is that we need to do if we believe it. If we believe that we can get it done, if we can pass that belief on to other people, if we're willing to do a little sacrifice to make it happen, then we can get it done. It pays off in the long run.
Right, and we talked about the foundation. When is it for 2011?
Say this again?
I said, we've talked about the foundation of the LOCKS Conference. So tell us when it's going to occur in 2011.
Oh, yes, yes. The LOCKS Conference, just so that we, because we're people come from all over the world, we have at the same time every year for 17 years, have not missed a year. It's always, always, always the first weekend in October. The very first weekend in October. So this year, the very first weekend in October is October 1st and 2nd. One and two.
Right. First
where
is it going to be? Where's
I'm
it
sorry.
Going, where are you going? Are you going
to? It's going to be at Walter D. Palmer Charter School, which is 910 North 6th Street. And that's between Girard and Popular, between 6th and 7th. It's very close to downtown Philadelphia, to 76, to I-95, and Girard is a very popular street in Philadelphia.
Right. It's also named after an activist, a long-time educator.
Oh, yes.
And he's still alive, by the way. So
yes.
He had the initiative to start a charter school, and they did the right thing and named it after him.
Well, you know, not only did they have the initiative to start a charter school, which goes from K to 12, the building itself is a beautiful testament to his vision. He also now has a cyber school for, like, people who dropped out of school and older folks. So he's been on this road in terms of education. He's the first one to have, like, a community in the community in the 50s. So we feel really excited to be at Walter D. Palmer. Except that this is our fifth year there, and we are outgrowing the place. So next year, I believe we're going to be at Imhotep Charter School, which is a much larger school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, give us it's October 1st and 2nd. What are the times, and what can people look forward to seeing? I say you're going to have food, fashion, education, and business. So what else?
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Okay. It's October 1st and 2nd. As I said, it's at Walter D. Palmer Leadership Learning Partners Charter School, which is 910 North 6th Street in Philadelphia. And the zip for that is 19123 for those people who need to have the fashion show. We're going to have a hair show. And this year we're bringing back the competition here, showcasing competition. We're going to have over 30-some workshops, and we have a LOCKS Conference showcase in which we have spoken word artists from all over the country. And this year we have, again, Autumn Asante, who's 13. She just got accepted to college and after having been homeschooled, so she's a good example of how beautiful our minds are, our young people are. We also have the Watoto of the Nile, which is three young women who wrote a song about Lil Wayne and his lyrics and asked him to stop degrading black women. And they've done another song about Rick Ross and P. Diddy, who are rappers, to tell them to stop promoting drugs. So they're coming. We have Voices of Africa, which is an internationally known all-women's drumming ensemble. We have Kamal Cabone is coming to be on our community forum with Delani Aman and Pam Africa and Dr. Ali Muhammad, Mukasa Africa, Haki Amin from Baltimore. So we have a powerhouse doing a community forum on Sunday night. On Saturday, we have a introduction panel discussion with Dr. Sophia Shabazz, Nia Bey, oh my goodness, Queen Matima Imani, and they're going to be talking about a nation can't rise any higher than its women. Oh dear. And then last year we elevated our holistic health and healing pavilion. It used to be throughout the conference. This year and last year, it's upstairs on the whole floor to itself. Yeah, so we have people who are doing foot ionic detox. We have reflexology. We have Reiki. We have massage. We have someone talking about colon irrigation. This year, which is the first year, we have someone who's actually doing dental work at the conference. They're doing how people can lighten their teeth right on the spot. we have astrology. We just have a number of things on the blood pressure reading, just first aid and CPR right on the holistic health and healing pavilion upstairs. So we're upstairs, downstairs, outside, drumming, martial arts, self-defense for women. This year we're also having a Philadelphia-style box class. Dr. Sunetta Aman is coming back with belly dancing for wound healing, Gloria Kincaid's soul line dancing. I mean, you name it, we have it. We're having a author's round table with Delani Aman, with Dr. Atma Al-Muwakil, who has a book about diabetes, how to turn that around. Ross Ben, Chief Falafel. Kevin Muhammad is doing a workshop on vaccinations and the dangers of vaccinations. He's also going to be in our office round table. So there's just so many.
Well, folks can go up to the website.
Workshops. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, folks can go up to the website. So give us the URL for that again.
The website is www.LOCKSConference.com. That's LOCKSConference.com. And the full schedule of the conference is there. The background of the conference is there. You know, all of that, when you say conference of people immediately go to, oh, my God, I'd love to go, but I can't afford it. It's still only $5 for the whole day. I don't know where you can go get a concert and a fashion show and vending and workshops and food and all of that. Well, you just have to pick your
food.
And be able to relax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a relaxing and a supportive environment.
Yes. You know, even though I'm one of the organizers, I get excited. The closer we get to it, I get so excited because the people's response in terms of wanting to be involved and wanting to find out. And we still have people who are here in the city who've never heard of the LOCK Conference. And, you know, so it becomes sort of a challenge for us, a quest for us to make sure as many people as possible hear about it. Not just to have them come to the conference, but because they know something like this exists. And we can reproduce it across the country. You know, when we get together, we're just a powerful people. So being able to have events like this and then to network. And, oh, yeah, we're also doing that. We're doing a business network, how to market your business, how to create something, use your own talent to create something. That's something new that we haven't had. So whatever it is that we can do to raise our consciousness to help us get through the madness that's going on as a whole human being. That's what we're doing in the LOCK Conference. So that excites me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It excites me because I see it happening. We've had people who come to a LOCK Conference not knowing what they were going to come to. They didn't necessarily have locks or braids or what have you, but they came because they heard something good was going to happen. And they said, I'm only going to stay for an hour. They come in at 11, they leave at 8:30 when it's over. And then they come back the next day with their auntie and their grandmother and cousins and whoever they can bring because the energy is so infectious.
Well, it's definitely infectious and it's definitely taking root in the community. But then that's just one of the myriad of activities that you're involved in. And we're almost out of time, so you have a health symposium coming up. So what's that about? Tell us about that.
Right. It's the 16th anniversary of the Million Man March, and the health symposium is, we're going to have five different workshops, one on vaccination, one on midwifery in helping women to, not women, but our community to understand the value of that and the necessity, one on how to eat to live, one for medical students and healers to talk about the responsibility of us to our community, we're going to have blood pressure readings, diabetes testing, vendors, food. It's going to be from 10 to 6. It's also going to be at Walter D. Palmer Charter School. And the health symposium is free, F-R-E-E, free.
When is that?
We wanted people to get the information so that, again, we can take responsibility for our overall health and we can be aware of some of the threats affecting our families and our communities.
When is that?
And that is October 8th. It's actually the following Saturday, October 8th from 10 to 6 at Walter D. Palmer Charter School. And people can actually call me if they're interested in vending or finding out more about it. Again, it's free. And it's the number that they can call is 215-438-8189. It's a health symposium. There are about five different workshops, plus the screening, plus the children's activity, vending and food. And we have a Facebook page, so people can go to Health Symposium October 8th. It's on Facebook, and there's a lot of information about it.
Okay. Now, go back in that order. Give us that, and also give us the URL and any other contact information for the LOC conference, and then we'll let you go with our gratitude.
Okay. The Health Symposium is October 8th, and that's at Walter D. Palmer Charter School from 10 to 6. You can call to get more information at 215-438-8189. The LOCS Conference and International LOCS Conference is October 1st and 2nd, and that's also at Walter D. Palmer Charter School. And the URL for that is www.LOCS Conference, and you can call for information for that is 1-888-305-3186.
Give that phone number again.
That number for information for the annual International LOCS Conference is 1-888-305-3186.
All right, sister, we thank you, and we'll see you that weekend.
All right. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Okay.
Take
stay
care,
strong.
Everyone.
All right, stay strong.
Peace.
And that was a good friend, Mama Akosua Ali Sabri, who is the co-convener of the 2011 17th Annual International Box Conference. And don't go anywhere, we'll be right back to close out the program. As we close out the program, as always, we wish you love, peace, health, prosperity, wisdom, but most of all, power and courage, the power and courage to actualize your latent divinity, your innate creativity, genius, talents, and potential, so that you evolve into all that the Creator intends for you to be, and your life manifests magnificently as one of an evolving soul here on this physical plane, and you make this world a better place. Till next time, stay strong.